Father, you are so holy. Jesus, you are so holy. There's no one like you. There's no one who can ever compare to you. There's no one who can ever compare to the majesty that you are, to the holiness of who you are, Father. Jesus, there's no one like you. We thank you for your presence, Father. We thank you for your glory, for your anointing. We thank you for everything, everything that you've blessed us with, everything that you've given us, everything that you've done for us. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving us another chance. Every time we mess up, or every time we feel that we fail, every time we forget about your grace, every time we forget, and every time we don't tap into that grace, you still love us. You still care about us. You still feel the same way about us. May we draw closer to you. May a hunger stir up inside of us like never before to draw closer to you, not just for ourselves, not for our own glory, but for your glory. May a hunger stir up inside of us to become one with you. May a hunger stir up inside of us to be holy and blameless before you, as that is what you've called us to be. I pray that our hearts will be open this morning, that our spirits will be open to receive. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Thank you so much. You can give God a shout of praise. You can give Jesus a shout of praise. You're great. Ladies, come on, you know how to praise. Show the men how it's done. Show them how we praise yesterday. Come on, we tapped into another level of praise yesterday. Our joy was restored. Amen. Amen. So I don't have a lot of time with you this morning because yesterday we said, and this is Prophet's heart, and as Prophet and I are one, it was his heart where he felt that God said it is for us to pray for restoration in families, for us to pray for the family. So I said that I'm going to do that. The eKids teachers will have your children ready, and I'm sure your children will recognize you. So we'll find a way how we can do it. Or one of the parents close to the end, I'll say, quickly run and fetch your children and we'll quickly pray for you. I'm going to try and make this message as short as possible. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. But before I do that, I want to just, first of all, just honor Prophet. And I know he doesn't like it if we do it too much and stuff, but I haven't done it for a while and I just felt so much in this week and I was just so grateful for him. And I'm always just so grateful for him. And he always just seems to come through in ways that he doesn't even know, ways that he doesn't even think. Or sometimes, you know, he might have the thoughts that he has, but he always just comes through and he always just does things the way that he does it. And even though I might not understand it always, he knows what he's doing. Or even if he doesn't, God knows what he's doing. But he's really just, I want to honor him and I want to thank him just for everything and for everything that he does. And I know we honored him on his birthday, but again, I just felt to honor him and thank him for who he is, not just as you know, our prophet, but who he is to me and who he is as my husband, as my prophet, as my priest, as my king, as my everything to me. I love him so much and I'm so grateful for him. And then I wanted to just quickly say thank you so much to every single volunteer and every single body that helped us with the Women's Conference. It was a huge success. It was beautiful. And I know Minette is not here. She's in the other service, but she did so amazing. And Mateo, the song that she rapped and stuff, it was Mateo and Minette, I think, together that wrote it, but mostly Mateo that wrote that one. Minette, who wrote her song together with me, and then Harar, who wrote our praise song together with me. But it was just, and it was fun songs, and it was just conference songs, and it was just spirit-led, and it was really just so spirit-led. But to all the volunteers, to everybody, to Pastor Gerard, who did so amazing, just carrying the energy and the life, the energy of Christ, the energy of God. And like I said, to every volunteer, everyone who serves, the whole band, thank you so much. For giving, for serving, for sacrificing. It is your spirit of excellence that allows the presence of God to come in. It is your excellence by how you serve the vision of God, how you serve in this house, that creates an atmosphere where it's of excellence that allows the presence of God to come into that, into the place. So thank you so much to everybody who was here. And all the ladies, thank you so much for being here. And then I was thinking as I was standing here, I had to say thank you to all the fathers who were looking after the children. Thank you so much to you guys who were watching our kids. I know Prophet was watching our girls alone this year, and I know when I got home, he was ready for me to be home. So I know that he might not have said it, but he appreciated that I got home. And I'm sure most dads felt the same way. They were like, okay, great, you take the kids now, I'm tired. And we were like, what? It was one day or 2 days, but they don't understand how we feel. They kind of understand, they forget then until they have to watch them again. But thank you so much to the dads for releasing your wives, for releasing the moms of your children, and looking after your children. It is obviously your duty as well to look after them. It's not like you now on babysitting duty. No, it's your children to watch them as well. But, you know, for moms, we are, you know, God ordained it that way, that we birth them, and that's just how it happened. So we are the ones who obviously care more in the sense of do the things that we do. And in some households it's very joint, in some households it's different. As your household works, your household works. But thank you so much to the dads, and I'm not going to waste too much time. But when I say that, yesterday it was powerful because the message that God brought to the women yesterday was restoring them to their grace, to their purpose, to their function, who God has placed inside of them. And we're not even finished yet. It was impossible for me to even touch the tip of the iceberg of what God is really doing in this movement and in this reformation, with what God is doing in the movement of Encounter. I said it not too long ago. I said, God is busy doing something. Prophet said not so long ago, he said that we want revival. Yes, and God will bring revival when he does. But reformation, a movement is what you bring. And that is what we are working towards. And we will all work together. It's not just us and the team who do it. It's everybody. But God is giving us messages. He's giving us certain revelations, and he's giving us certain keys and principles and all these things. And he's releasing certain stuff to us as a body, as this part of the body of Christ, where he's releasing this to us to step out to do the mission that God has for this part of the DNA. So everybody that's part of Encounter, it's a really important time not to miss the messages, not to miss Sunday, not to miss anything. If you're not here physically in the building because you're on holiday, make sure you listen to the messages, because those messages are for you as this part, for what God wants us to do as this part of the body of Christ. He's restoring you to a certain place. He's restoring you as a person, as an individual, to the original intention and place that he has for you through the messages, so that you can do the God-ordained purpose that he has on your life, or the gift that he has on your life through this, you as an individual, and then you with us as the body of Christ. Amen? Okay, so yesterday, the message that we did, what God spoke about, like I said, it was only the tip. I'm going to do a whole series on it for women, for wives, for mothers, for everything. It's really powerful. It was difficult to just try and start somewhere, but we started somewhere. And God spoke for women specifically, but today, and it was quite crazy how the message came about. But yesterday we spoke about women, and today I'm going to talk about who we are in Christ, you know, and who we are as a person. And this is for men, and this is to remind you, and I'm sure we all know these things, but I'm here to remind you of who you are in Christ and who God has called you to be. Many of us focus on the negativity. Many of us focus on, you know, the negative aspects of life. We focus on the circumstances on life. life, we focus on what's happening in the life, what's happening in the world, what's, you know, we're consumed by all these things. We're consumed by the statuses. I mean, Prophet and I don't even watch the news. I don't even know what the news is. I think I was maybe 5 when I watched the news last. No, I'm joking. Maybe like 10. We don't watch the news. I don't watch the news. I know he can maybe get updates and stuff, but he doesn't watch news per se. We don't even have a news channel. I don't even know what the news channels look like anymore. But we don't watch the news. We're not in that state of mind. If you're going to constantly be in that state of mind, that is what you're going to live. That is how you're going to see yourself. When we're fixing ourselves only and we only filling ourselves with all the congestion and everything of the world, if we're just filling ourselves with the world, remember, we are not of this world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. But if we're filling ourselves the whole time with the world, that is who we are going to become. Even though we know we are in Christ, we know it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. But if we're constantly fed by the world, yes, we get a little bit of teaching on a Sunday, we get a little bit of word on an e-group, and we get a bit of scripture and stuff like that. But if we consume the whole time with the world, meaning, remember, it's just a thing in your heart. You can get 10 hours of word a day, but if what is consuming your heart is still worrying and you're focusing still on the things of the world, that is what's consuming you and that's what's becoming you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so in Exodus 3 verse 10 to 14, we know the story of Moses where he had to go and set the people free, God's people free. But Moses said to God, he said, "Whom shall I said send me?" And God said to him, "Go tell my people that I am, that I am, sent you." God, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you." Many of us grew up. Okay, so let me just rephrase that. I was so in that moment now to try and come back to the message. I really don't have a lot of time, so I don't know how I'm going to bring the whole message across. But I might just skip a whole bunch of stuff and literally just give you the points and the scripture. I might not even read the scriptures today. It's something that I've never, ever, ever done before. But what I might do is I might give you the points and some scriptures, and then you guys go read the scriptures at home, please. To come back to the message. So we know that, I'm going to just kind of restart. In Exodus 3 verse 10 to 14, we know that that God said to Moses, tell the people, because Moses was concerned, who am I going to say sent me? If he comes, he had to take a whole bunch of people, thousands of people away from a place that their minds are conformed to. Their minds are stuck on a place. They've been conformed into this place. They've been customized and everything is around this. This is the only thing that they know. Now he has to go and tell them, you need to follow me. But how am I just going to be able to get them to go? So he said, God, but who do I say has sent me? So God said to him, say, I am that I am has sent you. Amen. Many of us grew up with, especially as older, the older people who were in church a lot, you know, you grew up with teachings that said, when you have when you have that statement, I am, you know, you grew up where that means that you basically have a blank check, where you can say to God, okay, you are, I am, so I can have this. So because it's, God says, I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Jehovah Nissi, your banner, Jehovah Rapha, your healer, Jehovah Shalom, your peace. Because God is I am, you can basically have a blank check. Did anyone grow up with those teachings? Okay, I did too. But his I am is far more than just what you can get from God. But it is who you are in Christ. It is who you are in Christ. I am a child of God, John 1 verse 12. I am. Okay, I'll go slowly. I am a child of God, John 1 verse 12. I am a son of God, Galatians 4 verse 6 and 7. I am more than a conqueror, Romans 8 verse 37. I am is far more than what you can get from God, but it is about what I can be in God. It is a being. It is who I am in Christ. Amen? Say, who I am in Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. So there is a greater life for us to live. There's a greater life for us to live than just this life according to the world. Amen? And we need to grab onto that. We need to grab onto that. We need to take hold of it. We need to realize who I am in Christ. We need to grab onto it. We need to take it. God did not, or Jesus did not die on the cross so that you can just be taken out of heaven. I mean, out of hell, sorry. So that you cannot just be taken out of hell and put into heaven. No, and basically be nothing on the earth. He didn't die just because many of us feel like we're nothing. We feel like we're accomplishing nothing. But Jesus didn't die just so that we can go to heaven. No. He died so that we can become something, so that we can do something. He died so that we can have dominion, so that we can be restored back to the original place of dominion, where we can be fruitful, we can multiply, we can subdue the earth, all those things. That is why Jesus died, so that we can come back to that original place. Amen? It is time for us to walk in who we are. We are sons of God. Romans 8 verse 32 verse 233. All of creation is waiting. Creation is groaning. And we have the first fruits of the Spirit. And we who have the first fruits of the Spirit are groaning together with creation to come forth as the manifested sons of God. What are we groaning for? We're groaning to come forth as the manifested sons of God. What is the Son of God? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was Jesus. So if we're going to be manifested as the sons of God, that means we're going to be manifested as the Christ of God. In other words, we are going to come forth as the very anointed of the Most High God, where we will be able to say this with Jesus. We'll be able to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Come on, somebody. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The moment that you gave your life to Christ, the Spirit of the Lord came upon you. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. The very hope of glory. He is your hope for the glorious life that we are stepping into. Come on. We don't have to have that glory only when we get to heaven. That glorious life is a life on this earth that we should be living as the sons of God. Come on. Are you with me? You are anointed. You are a son and a daughter of the living God. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. Come on. You are, and that cannot be hidden. Amen? You are something. You are something and someone that God placed on this earth. I'm just going fast because I have like 5 minutes left and I have to pray for all the families. Is it okay that I'm going fast? You guys are with me? Are you sure? Is there anyone that's not okay that I'm going fast? Okay. You are someone. You have a purpose and God has ordained you to be someone. He's ordained you to be you, male, male, female, female, with your function, with your purpose as a male and then as a female. You stay in your lane as a male. You stay in your lane as a female and you run that race according to your purpose, according to your function, not trying to be each other. Amen? If we don't ever come to a place of where we can say, I know who I am, or you know who you are, you say who you are, and you manifesting who you are in Christ, then I am frustrating the very grace of God. Then I received him in vain. The grace of God is not to, like I said, not to get you out of hell and into heaven. That grace of God is for you to step up and to be who Christ has ordained you to be, who Jesus died to for you who Jesus died so that you can be reconciled, so that you can be restored back to the place where Jesus put you. Amen. Ephesians 4 verse 12 to 13 says, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of the Christ, for the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the sons of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. It was God's intention. It was His intention that we would be that we would step into the full equipping of the saints, until we reach the full unity in faith, till we come to the exact full status of Jesus, stature of Jesus, not to be Jesus. But if God says that it is no longer us who live, but Christ in us, if Jesus is our example, if He's the one that's leading us, if He's the one who's actually helping us and doing it, why must we not get to His status, His stature? Why must we be lower? If He said that we're going to do greater things, why do we think and see ourselves less? Not that we're putting ourselves above Christ, never, ever, 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 ever. And I'll look into the camera and say, we will never, ever, ever, ever say that we're above Christ. But He has said to us, we will do greater. So why do we see ourselves as, not as less than Christ, but why do we see us, if we co-heirs with Him, why do we not see ourselves with what we need to accomplish on the earth? It's not about us being greater than God. No, if we are equal, if we co-heirs with Christ, if we are, if Christ is in us, and we need to be. When I read there now, what we need to do is we need to do the exact things that Christ did and greater. But we will never be able to do that if we cannot even see ourselves there. You know, the moment that you say, I am, because I'm going to give you a lot of I am confessions today, meaning, and you need to take these I am confessions and you need to say them over yourselves, declare them over yourselves, pray them over yourselves, and realize who you are so that you can, and even if you do it every day. But when you say, the moment you say, I am, and you add any negative connotation to it, then you are going against God. You're going against the very word of God. So the moment you say, I am sick, you are going against God's word, because God says, God's word says that you are healed. When you're saying you are in bondage, no, God's word says, I am delivered, or you are delivered. The word says, the weak say, I am strong. And if I say the word of God, He will come to my aid. If you speak the word of God over yourself and you confess the word of God over yourselves, not believing in yourself, no, the word of God is God. It is Christ. It is Jesus. So the moment you speak the word of God, the moment you speak His word, it is you speaking Him. It is you putting your faith in Him, not in yourself, in Him. When you're confessing, I am, not I, Esther Lee, am, I, Christ in me, am. Come on. If you say, I am followed, and you follow it with the word, then God loves it and He loves to come through. Why? Because your faith pleases Him. Your faith pleases God. So when you're confessing it, when you're saying it and you're believing it, and you know that it is not you saying it, it is not you as Melissa or as Martin or as David saying it, it is you as Christ saying it, knowing that your position is in Christ. Your very position, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. It is I am, all those other ones where you're in Christ. I can't get them now. Where you're in Christ, it is not you. It is not, it's you that is in Christ. It is your location where you are located in Christ. When you say, by His stripes I am healed, you are confessing I am healed. You're confessing Christ. You're confessing, it is your, this I am confession is not a confession of me. It is a confession of I am. I am that I am has sent you. I am healed you. I am delivered you. I am set you free. I am restored you. I am, I am, I am. blessed you, prospered you. Why? Because that is God's intention for your life and your family. And God is not a man that he should lie, and his word will not turn to him void. So when you confess his word over your life, over yourself, over your family, over your business, then he will come through for you. And again, when you confess it, you are confessing it and you're pleasing God because you're pleasing him by your faith. And the only way you can have faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you need to confess the word for your faith to grow. And the more your faith grows, the more you confess, your faith can grow, then your faith can grow and your faith pleases God. Amen. Okay, number one, I am a saint. Amen. Say, I am a saint. Okay, Paul the Apostle in Ephesians 1 verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay, the minute you become righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that's when you become a saint. Remember in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, it says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For he, God, made him who knew no sin for us, so that we might become righteous in him. When we are located in him, we are righteous. The minute you have been made righteous in Christ, you have been made a saint of the living God. A saint basically means holy and blameless. Amen? You don't have to do anything. Jesus achieved that for you already. You just be located in him. When you are located in him, you won't have to try and do anything. He did it for you. Okay, number two, I am holy. Colossians 2 verse 1. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So I am holy. Number three, I am blameless. We just read it in the previous scripture as well, but Ephesians 1 verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Am I going too fast for the scripture, guys? Okay. Sorry, guys. You know, the I am confession, God said to Moses, go tell them I am that I am sent you. When Jesus came onto the scene, when Jesus came in, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the fountain of living water. He didn't come in for people to guess who he is. No, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the fountain of living water. I am the light of the world. So when you walk into the place, you must know who I am. I am prosperous. I am a victory. I am blessed. You must walk into the place. I am above the rest. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am holy. I am blameless. I am. You are these things because that is why Jesus died, so you can be like him. But not for yourself, for him, to bring glory and honor to him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there we go. When you're located in Christ, that's the scripture I was looking for. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Not parts of you, not some of you. All of you, what I'm trying to teach you today by these I am confessions, by you renewing your mind, and I said it earlier, this is for you to renew your mind, to know who you are in Christ, who Christ has ordained you to be, so that you're not living as a nobody on this earth, not for you to get full of yourself and full of pride, no, When you can walk in the fullness of who you are in Christ. Oh my word, is that the time? Okay, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to just literally do this. Okay, I'm alive in Christ, number four. I'm a new creation. That's just part of that scripture. I'm really not going to be able to get through the rest. Okay, I am blessed, number six. Oh, I've never had to do it like this before. Okay, I am blessed. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every, which is all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, or in Christ. Okay, I'm not going to be able to go through all of that, but all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, all. So that brings me to point number seven. I am in heavenly places. This is a location. It is a situation you find yourself in when you realize that you can tap into heaven. You can tap into the blessings that God has. You can tap into above. You can tap into those things. It's a location. It is a situation you find yourself. Amen. Number eight, I am chosen. You are chosen. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Okay, I'm not going to be able to go through that one. Okay, number nine, I am a fruit bearer. In John 5 verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, that He may give it to you. Amen. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So God chose us. The very reason that you are alive is because God wanted you to be here. There's no other creator. There's no other one that could have placed you here. The very fact that you're here is because God created you and ordained for you to be here. Amen. I actually have a very good thing on the fruit thingy where so many people have a lot of condemnation, and they think that the fruit, because it obviously says that if your fruit doesn't bear fruit, then you're going to be cut off. But the thing is if you look in the interlineal Greek lexicon, that word to remove, it doesn't actually mean to remove. It actually means to lift up, to bear. So when it is basically Jesus saying, He's not saying I'm going to remove you. The same way that they don't, if the branch in the vineyard just falls off, it doesn't mean that they don't, or comes loose. It doesn't mean that they're going to just remove it. No, they're going to tie it back up. So that's Jesus basically saying He's going to lift you. His grace is there. He's going to lift you. Grace upon grace, He's going to lift you. So even if you're not bearing fruit today, His grace is there for you. He's coming to lift you up so that you can bear fruit, because it says your fruit will remain. Amen. Okay, that was the very short version of that. It was actually a lot deeper, but I can't go deeper. And why does it remain? Because the very next scripture says, or actually John 15 verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. It is the word. Oh, I realize now that I wasn't loud. Sorry. Somebody tell me that the mic's not on, unless... Was the mic fine? Okay, because I didn't hear myself until now. Okay, so the word is what washes you. It cleanses you. But you need to boldly confess the word. When you confess the word, it washes you. It cleanses you so that you can know, but hey, I'm washed. I'm clean. This is Jesus washing you. Jesus is the word. Amen. Number 10, I am predestined. Oh my word, I can't even get into that one, but I'll give you the scriptures. Ephesians 1 verse 5, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasures of His will. Romans 8 verse 29 to 31, that's actually the best one. Okay, let me read it quickly. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, He predestined these. He he predestined these, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. I know Prophet did a whole thing on predestination, so I'm not going to get into that. But even that, it's so good. I'm so sorry, we don't have a lot of time. I blame Pastor Chris. He talks too long. Okay, I am called. I'm going to tell him. I am called. Okay. I am, the next one. I am adopted. You've been adopted. I just read it in the previous scripture as well. But another scripture that you can go read for that is Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7. But adoption doesn't mean that you now have a stepfather. It doesn't mean that God is your stepfather. No, it just means that you go from a state of childhood into maturity. Amen. Okay. I'm giving you the short version. You are an heir. I am an heir. Galatians 4, verse 6 to 7. I am a joint heir. Romans 8, verse 15 to 17. I am accepted. Ephesians 1, verse 6. I am in the beloved. Let me read that. I am accepted. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. So I am accepted in where? So you are accepted in the location of the beloved. Whenever you see the word in, this is how I read the Bible now, because that is how I caught it. That is how I caught it and I realized who I am. When it says in Christ, in the beloved, I always think to myself, but it's that location. So when I am in that word, I've actually changed to location. So I am located in Christ. It is no longer I. When I'm located, and I remind myself every time I stay connected to Christ, I stay connected to my source, I stay connected to the one who called me, saved me, redeemed me, everything. It is Him. When I'm located in Him, then I am. Amen. Okay, so I'm in the beloved, Ephesians 1 verse 6. I am reconciled, Colossians 1 verse 21 to 22. I'm sorry guys, I can't read all the scriptures. I am justified. Nadine, can you maybe get the kids for us, please? I am justified. Romans 5 verse 1. Okay, I'm going way too fast. You guys are going to have to listen to the broadcast. I'm so sorry, guys. For those joining us online, I'm so, so sorry. I don't have a lot of time. Romans 5, so I am justified. Romans 5, verse 8 to 9. These scriptures are so powerful. Please read them in this order, because when I read them like this, my mind was blown away. Okay, so Romans 5, verse 1, Romans 5, verse 8 and 9, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 11. And then Romans 3, verse 23 to 28. But read it in that order, please, because it's so powerful how you've been justified. But I know we read it earlier as well, but you've been justified. So I am holy. I am blameless. I am reconciled. I'm accepted. I'm in the beloved. I'm adopted. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir. I'm justified. I'm predestined. I'm a fruit bearer. I am chosen. I'm in heavenly places. I'm alive in Christ. I am a new creation. I am a saint, holy and blameless. So you need to know who you are. Yesterday we focused on the women and I told them who we are. Men, you need to focus on who you are, who Christ has called you to be. When you know who you are in Christ, your ability to lead your home, your ability to step up as a man and lead your home as the king, as the priest, as the head of the house will be easy. Many men feel put down, or they feel that they're not enough and they never step up. Then many women will say, but my husband doesn't step up and I feel like I have to step up. And then they step up. I addressed that with a woman yesterday. They're not supposed to step up. But men, if you know who you are in Christ, it'll be easy for you to step up. Amen. Amen. Can we get the children to come out quickly? And then I want everybody to stand up. I'm so sorry, guys, that it went so quick, but I don't like speeding. Oh, okay. Parents, if you can just fetch, if one parent can just quickly fetch one of your children, please, if it's possible. And then whoever's, if it's those who do not have children yet, but you are married, you guys come forward so long. Yeah. If you are married and you are here and you don't have children yet, let's start with you guys, and then the families can just join the aisles and they can... Band, you guys can start.
From the rising of the sun to the
setting of the sun. This is for married couples, for families with children, both.
Most of the families in the building already?
A lot or? Okay. Let's just carry on worshiping. Wherever you are in the building, please don't worry now about everything that's going on. Just worship God as we are connecting with Him.
Okay, where you are in the building, I want you to just raise your hands. Take hands with your family member that is with you. If your children are with you, take hands together. And I want you guys to say after me, say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for making us one. For making us a family. Father, I pray that you would forgive me for where I have hurt you, where I've disappointed you. And Father, thank you for your reconciliation. Father, right now I pray for every single family. Every single family, every single marriage. Father, first of all, I pray for the marriages. Right now, I pray that every single marriage right here, every marriage that needs healing, I command healing to be so. Every marriage that needs restoration, Father, let your restoration be their portion. Father, every marriage that needs breakthrough, let breakthrough be their portion. Father, every family that needs your intervention, Father, intervene in their lives. Let them as a family experience your love, your grace, your mercy, your joy, and the fullness of what you intended a family and marriage to be, Father. If we are to love the body of Christ, or as Jesus loved, or if we are to love each other as Jesus loved the body of Christ, Father, help us and put that love in us to be able to love one another the way that Christ loved us. Help us to be one. The marriages to be one, Father. Any hurt, any pain, Father, I pray that you will heal their hearts. Father, anybody that's struggling to bear children, Father, you said, you commanded us and you gave us the right. You said we need to be fruitful and multiply. So Father, everyone that is struggling with barrenness, I command that spirit to be loosed and to leave their families right now, Father, and let them be fruitful and multiply, Father. Meet the desires of their heart. Father, I pray that you'll give every single parent the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge to train their children in the way that they should go, Father. Give them the ability to raise them and to show them your Christ-like nature, Father, so that they can be raised according to the way that you have instructed us to raise, Father. Help the parents to be the example by their actions, not just their words, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, bless these families. Bless their lives, their finances, their marriages, their health, every aspect of their lives, Father. Bless them in Jesus' mighty name.